All right, starting in John 1, verse 1. Now, these are basics. These are basics that we all need. Let's start off with the person of who Jesus actually is. We need to find the difference. And let me explain this. We need to find the difference between the way the world perceives Jesus and who he reveals himself to us to be. Those two points are so important to understand the difference. The difference between the way the world perceives Jesus and who he reveals himself to be. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. The Lord just told me. We're going to Matthew here for a moment. All right? There's a difference between always, and it's been this way since the beginning, since Jesus came, a difference between who the world perceives Jesus to be and who he actually is. Who he reveals himself to us to be. The difference between trying to figure God out with a carnal mind and walking in the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the bottom line of our communion, because revelation comes from heaven. Therefore, you have to enter in. It doesn't come from the ground up. It comes from heaven down. Wow. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, and this is Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Now listen to what he's asking them. Who do people perceive me to be? What are the people saying about me? What have they figured out? In their little carnal minds, running around their daily business, what have they figured out about me? Who do men say that I am? They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Now notice how they all got it wrong. The opinions and the perceptions of men have this in common, especially with us today. They'll always be wrong. Because you can't figure out who Jesus is. And this is the approach that many have taken, based upon intellect and the ways of the carnal mind. You'll never understand who Jesus is through that. He must be revealed, and we're going to show you. They replied, "Some said John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, son of Jonah, because this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter," which means a little rock, a pebble. "And on this rock, bigger rock, I'll build my church." That understanding, that revelation. The church of Christ is based upon the revelation that comes through this communion through the Spirit. This isn't saying Peter was the first pope. Look at the revelation he received. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Because men didn't tell you this, but my Father who is in heaven. And I call you a little rock. Because on this rock, this understanding, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it." Death will not overcome this church through the power of Jesus' resurrection. "And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples, "Do not tell anyone that he was the Christ." Now look at this revelation. This is the basis of the church that you hear from God and not man. This is the basis of your relationship. This is how revelation comes from heaven, from God, not from men. This is what Paul meant in Galatians 1 when he says, "No man taught this to me. It's not a made-up story. Nobody made it up. No man taught it to me. Nor was I taught it by any man. but I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. He met him. This brings us to John 17:3, and I want you to hear it. This is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Now, I want you to see what the obstacle was all this time that kept man from coming to know God. It was sin. This was the obstacle. This is what kept man from coming to know God. Sin. By Jesus doing away with sin in his own body on the tree, he has restored first a communion between you and God through his righteousness, so that you can enter in and come to know him. The obstacle to you coming to know him was sin. Jesus is taking care of that obstacle in his own body and blood. This is the whole essence of the beginning of our gospel. This communion you're restored to, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But you can see from Matthew 16 here, the perceptions of men are always wrong. And we've got to learn the difference between the Jesus that people talk about and the one we meet through God by the Holy Spirit. We've got to know the difference between the Jesus that men perceive and the one that God reveals. Between the one that people try to figure out and can't, and the one that God reveals. All right. Now, I want to take you back to this. John 1. To understand who Jesus is, you must first understand his origin. His origin. Now, to the people, the way they perceived it, he was the man from Nazareth. He was the man from Nazareth to them. In John chapter 6, we're told this. When Jesus tells the people in John chapter 6 that he is the bread of life, listen to what happens here. Jesus then declared, in chapter 6 of John, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I've told you, you've seen me, and you still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whosoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of what he has given me, but should raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now at this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? You see the difference? The difference between the Jesus they perceived and who he truly was. He was from heaven, not Nazareth. He was from heaven. So understanding his origin, that it goes beyond, he's not just a good guy. He's the Son of God with power. We have to understand that from the beginning. Now listen to what it says in John 1:1 about him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. He's the Creator. You have to come to know Jesus Christ as the Creator. Not just a good guy from Nazareth. This isn't a man that was born of Adam. This is the man who created Adam. You hear me? Listen to this. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. This is telling you exactly what we've been talking about. Jesus was shining there in that darkness of that body, in this world, and the darkness didn't understand him. What does he mean, he come down from heaven? Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, whom we know? He made all things. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now there came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. Now this is important. We're not going to focus on John. We're going to focus on Jesus, the true light. The true light. And this is where we get into figures. We see the sun and the moon. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. But there's a difference in the sun and the moon. The moon can only reflect light. The sun is life in itself. It's a big ball of gas. In this same way, Jesus is the true light. See, what people see, men, that can only reflect light. In Jesus was the fullness of God. In Jesus, the man was God, the Son. He was light, the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. You have to know him as the true light. You have to know him as the Creator, and you have to know him as the true light. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. Remember? Who do men say that I am? Oh, some say Jeremiah, some say, you know, one of the prophets, you know, some say Elijah, and they were all wrong, weren't they? Who do men say that I am? He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. But listen to this. Here's the promise of the gospel. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become the children of God. What is that power? That's what we're going to learn about. Children born not of natural descent, not of a man, or of human decision, nobody decided, or of a husband's will. No husband decided, hey baby, let's have a kid. But children who are born of God. Born of God. Now the thing about God is spirit. As Jesus told the woman at the well, God is a spirit. And he seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. This is, you know, this relates exactly going back to what we were talking about with Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, you and me, Jesus, we know you come from God. Because no one could be doing these signs you're doing unless God was with him. And he told Nicodemus, no, you don't, Nicodemus. You think you know I'm from God. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he went on to explain to him, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not what I say to you. You must be born again. And he's telling you that this second birth has to be of spirit. Unless a man is born of water and the spirit. Not just born physically, because then you would remain in darkness. But born of the light. Born of the spirit. Born of God. And he says everyone who's born of the spirit is just like the wind. You don't know, you can hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it's come from or where it's going. Well, seeing all those miracles was like hearing the sound of it. But they didn't know where he came from, and they didn't know where he was going. And so it is with you, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you. No one knows where you come from or where you're going. Men can't mark that. Jesus told them in John chapter 8, where I've come from, you don't know. And where I'm going, you can't follow. Is this not Jesus? What does he mean? Where he's going, we can't follow. What's he going to kill himself? The perception of men. The perception of men. It's always wrong. Jesus was talking about where he was from. I came from the Father, and I'm going back to the Father. And this is what he told Nicodemus. So it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit. You don't know where they come from. Where did you come from when you're born of Christ? Jesus said his followers are not of this world anymore, any more than he's of this world. So where's your origin? Your new birth has to have the same origin that Jesus had, and that's from heaven, not earth. Your new birth is a birth from heaven. And so you're of heaven. That's where you're from. The saying that Nathanael said when they said, come and see the Messiah. In John 1, Nathanael says, can any good come out of Nazareth? Well, it's a true saying. No good can come out of Nazareth. But Jesus didn't come from Nazareth. And no good could have come from you, from the flesh, or Ohio, or Texas, or Illinois, or wherever it is you were born. No good comes out of those places. The good comes from heaven. And that's what you're born of now, through faith. Children who are born not of natural descent or a husband's will, born of God. You have to understand who Jesus is and where he's from. You have to come to know him, to know this salvation. And if you only know him as the man from Nazareth, you ain't got it. You ain't got it. So listen on. Now this was John's testimony. Verse 19, chapter 1. This was John's testimony. When the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but he confessed freely, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, and who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not. Are you the prophet? No. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the ways of the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had sent him questioned him, then why do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied. But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany. Now the next day, when Jesus was coming toward him, he said, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one when I said, a man coming after me has surpassed me because he was before me. You see that? The last will be first and the first will be last in that. John says, I come first baptizing with water to prepare the way. But there's one who comes after me that's preferred before me. The last will be first and the first will be last. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water is so that he might be revealed to Israel. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove, John said, and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will is who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. The next day John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. Now, remember all of this. John says, God told him that the one he sees the dove light upon, which is the Spirit, is the one who will baptize with the Spirit. John says, I baptize with water, but there's one who's coming after me, preferred before me, and he'll baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. That baptism is a baptism of heaven. It's a baptism of God. And this is how we have a communion, because this is the baptism that Jesus brings us, one of the Spirit. Now, when did this baptism come to us? Just when Jesus was walking as a man? No. Jesus told his disciples, read it in Acts chapter 1 in the opening verses. He told his disciples, I want you to go and tarry in Jerusalem. Now, this is after he rose from the dead, after he had already been died and risen from the dead. Go tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the gift I promised, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That new nature doesn't come to you until Jesus actually died to pay for your sin. This shows that Jesus is the payment for your sin. He is the payment for your sin. And he's testified to God, who gives you the Spirit. Because God could not give you the Spirit unless Jesus was the payment. Because God cannot commune with sinners. But he could commune with his Son. And that's the communion you're adopted into. Jesus has shared with you his righteousness through the giving of this Holy Spirit. He has shared with you his righteousness. The relationship you didn't have with God is replaced with the relationship Jesus has with God. And that's the deepest relationship possible. I want you to see something as we go on here. In chapter 3, John is saying this. Alright? These people came to John, verse 25 of chapter 3 in John. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, he's baptizing and everyone is coming to him. To this John replied, a man can receive only what he's been given from heaven. Heaven! There it is again. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am set ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy. And when he hears the bridegroom's voice, that joy is mine. And it is now complete. He must become greater and I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. See what John said about Jesus? This isn't the man from Nazareth. This is the man from heaven. The one who is from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from a heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. He is the Lamb, as John said, that come into the world. It's only through Jesus you find justification. It's only through being adopted into Christ. It's to him that had the Holy Spirit as a man, had this communion with God. And he comes from above. He doesn't come from the earth. Now, when he said that you people, he testifies to what he has seen and heard. And he can do that because he was in heaven. Get it? He testifies to what he's seen and heard in heaven. But no one accepts his testimony. Man. Listen to the way Jesus said it. He was telling Nicodemus earlier in chapter 3 here, I've spoken to you of earthly things. How can I tell you of heavenly things if you don't believe? Still, you people will not accept. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we do know. Verse 11. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we do know, and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. We is him and God. See, he's speaking out of that relationship. He's speaking out of that relationship. He's not just talking as one guy. It's him and the Father speaking together. We speak of what we do know, and we've testified to what we have seen, but you people do not receive our testimony. You see, now the flow of the Bible is totally different from the way a lot of people have been taught. Jesus is not the man from Nazareth. He's the Son of God with power. And you have to come to know him as that, because that's the only real Jesus there is. If you don't know him as anything but a man, you don't know him. Remember John 17:3, this is eternal life. That you know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Well, you can only come to know God through His Son, Jesus. Now, I want to take you and read you some here later in John, what he's saying. Jesus answered, chapter 14 of John, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a life, not a way, not a truth, the complete, the source. The source. He's the source of life, the source of truth. He is the way and the only way to God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. Wow. If you really knew me. Now understand, to enter into communion with Jesus is to enter into that communion with the Father. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? But what eyes are you looking with? Are you just seeing a man? Or have you truly received him in faith? See, it's only in the Spirit. Remember what he told Nicodemus? No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You may not know what you saw. You may not know what you saw, but if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's the depth of relationship between Jesus and the Father. We speak of what we do know, and we testify to what we have seen, and you people do not receive our testimony. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Now look at that depth of relationship. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Now, what does he mean by that? Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. This concerns the promise of the Holy Spirit. See, remember, look what he's saying as a man. The words say, I said you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now jump down, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Which is, one, his work. How are you doing it? By his Spirit dwelling in you. See it? The Father in you through Jesus Christ. That's how you'll be doing greater things. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I'll do whatever you, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. You can pray to Jesus. I will do whatever you ask in my name. You can pray to Jesus because he's God. He is the Father, and the Father is in him, and he's in the Father. They're one. And your way to the Father is who? Through who? Jesus. So the Son may bring glory to the Father. And you may ask me for anything in my name. You may ask me for anything in my name. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now you tell me he was just a man. Tell me he was just a man. That's a lie. No man could say that. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's the promise. That's our communion. That's what Jesus has purchased. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you'll also live. On that day, you'll realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me. I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. What have we learned here? Now, I'm going to stop right there, but I want you to consider what we've learned, because we've laid a foundation for this communion. You can see that Jesus' origin is from heaven. He's not the man from Nazareth. You can see that only through Jesus can you be reconciled to God. You can see that Jesus will do whatever you ask him, that he's not just a man. You can see that you have to be born from above of him. Of him. That's not a man. You understand? You're going to see when we read, and we're going to read out of John 17 tomorrow, where Jesus says, "Glorify me now, Father, with the glory I had with you before the world began. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus came in the form, who the Philippians 2, though being in the very nature of God, humbled himself to take on the form of a servant. We're going to understand. Jesus isn't the man from Nazareth. And you're going to have to know him for who he is to walk in his salvation. You're going to have faith in him to walk in his salvation. To be in that communion is to be adopted into the relationship that Jesus has with his Father. And as he was outside of Adam, now he's in us. Remember what he told his disciples? You've known him. He's been with you. Through me. Through me. He's been with you. You know him, the Holy Spirit. Because we've been speaking together as one. We speak of what we do know. And we testify to what we have seen. And you people don't receive our testimony. You know him. He's been with you. But now he'll be in you. That's the greater thing that Christ brought us that Adam never had. Even before he fell. God dwelling in us. To be born from above as his children through Jesus Christ. So that the relationship we share in is never the one that Adam had from the beginning, but the one that Jesus had from the beginning with his Father. That's the depth of the relationship you've been given through the body and blood of Jesus. Now, we've been talking about all of these things just as basics. This is the foundation you have to build. First, you learn what born again is. Then you learn what you're born again to become. And to understand what you become, you have to know what Jesus is. To understand what it is you're becoming, you have to know who Jesus is. Don't you? And this is the only way that you'll appreciate that communion that he brings you and reconciling you to God. We're going to stop here, but we're going to continue on tomorrow strictly on the communion. We've talked about the person of Jesus Christ today. Who we must come to know him as, in order for us to partake of this divine nature. In order for us to partake of this communion that God gives us through his body and blood. But tomorrow night we're going to finish this off and talk about that communion that we all had a stake in, which is our reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ. It is our salvation by faith. We're going to finish that off tomorrow, and then we are going to get into the mechanics of Jesus' death and resurrection to understand how God coming into a man and sacrificing himself saves us. How we can be born of that new nature. So we're taking each step at a time. But today, you must appreciate who Jesus is so you can appreciate the communion you've been called to.